Hello everybody, James here, and welcome. This is the first time that I have done a live stream in 4 months now. I realized last time I looked that it was probably about September last year that I'd done my first live stream, and yeah, it's been a long time since I've done one, and so I really wanted to do something and just have a bit of a catch up with you all and sort of see what everybody's been up to, have a bit of a chill out, and some talking and stuff, yeah, and maybe just give you an update on what I've been up to, have some topical conversations that we can talk about. The idea of this stream also is I've also gone live on Instagram. Hi everybody. And the idea is to get all of you followers from Instagram over to YouTube, because I don't have a big enough following on YouTube at the moment. Yeah, I have quite a lot of people on Instagram now. So the idea is to try and hopefully get people to sort of tune into my YouTube channel more often, and then we can have proper chat and catch-ups on here. But for now, I'm going to do both. So hi, everybody that's on Instagram. Hi, everybody that's on YouTube. I hope you're all well. And if you've got any questions or any topical stuff that you want to talk about, have a chat amongst yourselves as well. And also drop me some messages in the comments as well on both platforms. So then we can have a good old chat and see what's up. So I might as well start with a few things. First of all, we are live in the fish studio, or my shed, for anybody that's sort of interested. I think the last time that I done a live, because I was listening to a couple of bits of it earlier, it turns out that I think I was still working on the shed. So I think that I had only been halfway sort of built through the actual build itself. And now we're in a position where I have 12 odd fish tanks in the shed here right now that are fully built and fully being used. And the plan is to obviously build more, get more racking in here, more fish tanks, hopefully do some more aquascapes and builds and sort of stuff like that. And ideally what I'm going to be doing as well is a sort of a tour as well, to hopefully show you guys around what I have been up to and what I'm currently up to as well. So yeah, lots of really cool stuff that I've got going on. So yeah, it's really good to be in the shed. I really hope that the internet is really good here. So you'll have to let me know in the comments as well if the internet's good, because yeah, I think that although I've got Wi-Fi literally right next to my head here, I'm not sure how good it is from my house to the shed. So I'd be interested. So yeah, there's a question already. BTE Aquarium said, is the shed insulated? It is, but it's still quite chilly, which is why I've got my hoodie on. Although there's a few heaters from the aquariums, it's still of sort of average temperature, but it's warm enough to sit in here. I could quite easily take my t-shirt off and feel comfortable, but I thought I'd just keep the hoodie on just in case. But yeah, so it's not too bad at the moment, but I'm hoping once there's more tanks in here, this room is going to be like a sauna. So it's interesting now. I'm really interested to find out what it's going to be like in the summertime when it gets really hot, because that'll be when the real test begins, I think, as well. So I might as well kick things off then with a couple of sort of topical conversations. And if you want to join in, then join in. I will start things off, I think. One of the things I wanted to talk about today was sort of fish room science, if you will, compared to fish science. And what I mean by that is I think that there is two definitions of the way things are and what you experience every day in your homes. So that's what I think fish room science is. So that's the experiences that you have in your aquariums, in your house or your fish room or anything like that, compared to what is, you know, written down or sort of all the studies that you find online. So it's really interesting to know if it's really interesting to see if, you know, the science is the reality, basically. That's what I'm trying to say. So a few examples of this, I think, is probably stuff like water parameters. I've gone on about this quite a few times before in the past, but one of the things that I think is very interesting is when you read online about the water parameters of certain fish and animals and stuff, and then when you try it in your own aquariums and try things in a different way, you find that you have success. Now, that doesn't mean that it's the right way to go, and it doesn't mean that that's going to be the same for everybody else. But I think sometimes you can get different results because you have varying different environmental factors. So you could have the heat in the room, for example, it could be a factor, the type of water that you got and how hard the water is, how soft it is, how alkaline it is, how acidic it is, those different things. And I think that those experiences sort of define how successful or unsuccessful you are. Case in point of something as simple as hatching brine shrimp. I had massive success in my house, and that was because my house is a lot warmer. Having a brine shrimp hatchery, which is sitting behind me, I tend to find that the water is a lot cooler because it doesn't have a heater in it. So you tend to find that there's different things that you need to do. So ideally, I mean, for me, I just need to heat the room up or find an aquarium that I can put the brine shrimp in and hatch them out for that. But as I said, it's different experiences. And also, I think the most important thing is like water. For me, I've had a lot of people say that certain animals and fish thrive in certain water parameters. And that may be the case in the wild and for wild fish or wild caught fish. But when I think you get to aquarium level and hobby level, a lot of these fish have been so far flung away from their natural conditions that they've been accustomed or bred through the hobby, then the parameters are slightly different, and I think the game changes. So, for example, you know, I've got lots of shrimp, and I've got 5 shrimp tanks at the moment, and all of those shrimp tanks have the water from my house, and that's tap water. And I'm not ashamed to like say it or anything. You know, I know people would say, oh, you need to be using RO water or softer water and stuff, but the water in my area is naturally hard. And short of like a few, you know, sort of stumble-ins right at the very beginning with the shrimp that I acquired from shops and other breeders, yes, there was the acclimatization issues at first, but once the colony started growing and breeding, then those shrimp seem to have been accustomed to the water parameters in my area, and they're thriving. And I can honestly say that I don't get deaths like every day or molting problems or anything like that. And the colorations on some of my shrimp is absolutely stunning. So I think that, as I said before, it's just like, yes, there may be certain ways that you've been told in the hobby and when you read it in books and stuff. And maybe that is the case, that there is some logic to it. But I do think that the game changes when you have your own aquarium conditions and your own home. So, yeah, it's just really interesting. I'd love to know your thoughts on it, because I know that this can be a very funny subject with people. Not a lot of people sort of get the whole water parameters thing and daren't vary from it too much, but I do like to test these things out. And I mean, I do use RO water in some of my aquariums. I have a reef tank, and don't get me wrong, I have tried tap water before, and I do get why people say that you should use RO water in reef aquariums. I think it's more to do with, like, I tend to notice that you get a lot more algae and a lot more problems with growth in corals, and they're a lot more fussier than what, say, other fish in the freshwater world are. So you definitely notice that there is a bit of a difference in the marine section. But when it comes to freshwater fish, I think that they've been so heavily bred through the hobby and through different water parameters as they've gone, even from the point where they've been collected from the wild, that by the time they get to this sort of your house level, they tend to be already accustomed or resilient enough to sort of handle it. And fish are really resilient as well. You know, it's incredible what these things go through, and especially the ones that are shipped through the, you know, from where they've come from in the wild. and they can travel thousands of miles, you know, get thrown about in aeroplanes, shipping, you know, vans, all that sort of stuff in different temperatures. And then they come into our house and you know, the average person, like the average fish keeper, they're not like us hobbyists where they spend ages studying the fish's natural environments or what kind of water quality they might need. And they just chuck them in their aquariums and they'll bounce back and then they breed or they do anything. And as I said before, maybe it's not the right way, but what I'm trying to say is fish are very resilient enough to sort of handle whatever we throw at them, even though that's not a good thing. But yeah, I mean, I think that it's just, my point from the beginning of it was just that I think sometimes the way things are written down is not always what you experience in your own tank. So don't be afraid or worried that when you get a different result to what you've read, sometimes that might not be wrong and sometimes that might be okay. So it's always worth sort of basing it on your experiences. But then what is most important is they're not saying just because it works for you, it's going to work for everybody, because everybody's got a different situation. They might have different water quality. They might have different heating. They might have a different room, different lighting. All of those different varying factors could create a different result to what, say, I'm getting in my tanks. I mean, my room here is a lot cooler than what it was inside. So I've got different varying factors right now. And it seems like I've noticed certain things that might be slightly different to what I was experiencing in the house. I'm not noticing massive amounts, thankfully, but you do notice that obviously the water is a bit cooler than what it was inside my house, because the heaters I've got to work a bit harder. And this is what I was saying about in the summertime, it's going to be very interesting to find out like what it's going to be like when the heat starts to increase, you know. So yeah, it's just one thing. I don't know what everybody else thinks of that, but you'll have to let me know. I've just got a question from, again, BTE Aquariums. This is an Instagram question for anybody watching. So you were talking about, is the shed insulated? And you were saying you're only asking because you're in the garage and you need to insulate it. Yeah, so just so you know, this shed has been insulated. Now, I couldn't afford a lot, I'll be honest. I couldn't afford to spend loads of money on the sort of thick foam insulation slabs that you put between the shed walls. So what I did is got a load of loft insulation, the big rolls from it, and basically lined every wall in the entire room with loft insulation, sort of stapled it in. Before I did that, I have like plastic all over the shed wall, because it's obviously wood, and I didn't want any water leaking onto the insulation, because as soon as you get water on the insulation, it then causes a lot of issues with the insulation actually working correctly. So I put the plastic first, then I put the loft insulation, and then I've put plasterboard over that. And on the ceiling, I don't know if you can slightly see, I've got like reflective foil on the ceiling to hopefully like bounce back the heat. Again, this is all trial and error at this time of the year, because I don't know if that's, you know, when I first did it, I didn't know if it was going to be sufficient enough to sort of hold the heat. But I've been really surprised. It's actually been moderately warm in here. I've got my ink bird connected to my marine tank just to the left of me here, and I mean, obviously that's got a heater in it, but that's holding the temperature of 24.8 right now. And I would say that the temperature in the area, if I have a look, is 5 degrees. So sort of shows you that obviously my heaters aren't working too hard to keep the level of heat that's in it. Just got another comment from Instagram. So from Shrimp Father, he says shrimp room tour. Yeah, that is on the cards. That is one of my plans, to do a video on it, to sort of give you a good run through of everything that I've got. You can kind of see some of the aquariums behind me. I'm still trying to work out the lighting and everything else in this room and to record videos. And I've got a video coming out in a couple of weeks' time, which uses the kind of lighting that I'm trying to work with right now. And I'm hoping that that's going to come out really good. So fingers crossed with that. I don't know if anybody else sort of has any sort of conversations or things that they would like to learn about or for me to talk about or anything. You know, I'm no expert. I'm just a regular person like everybody else. But it's always good to sort of hear. And again, if anybody is watching on Instagram, you need to get over to YouTube and help me out on that platform. And hopefully subscribe if you haven't. And yeah, get chatting to me on there. My plan is to do a lot more of these YouTube live streams, hopefully without the help of Instagram in the future. But yeah, and I plan on trying to, if I can, do one at least a minimum of once a month and start sort of building that community, because I really want to build a community of people on this network and, you know, sort of chat to people and stuff. So we'll get there. So BT Aquarium said, I never miss a video. I appreciate that, mate. That is massive. You know, really hard with my YouTube stuff, I won't lie to you. Like, I have been doing a lot of market research recently on my channel through the community tab and stuff to find out exactly what my audience wants from me. And I still can't work it out. And every time I think that I'm getting close to it, the game changes completely. So I'm not 100% sure on where it's going. So I'm just playing around with a lot of different ideas at the moment. I don't, as I've said plenty of times before, I don't like the idea of sort of pandering to a niche. But sometimes I think that the channels that work most is when you've got like a focus on something. So I'm trying to focus my videos a bit more on the sort of the things that I enjoy and like most of and stuff. So, but I'll keep making various other videos and see what happens and how people enjoy them. But the most important thing is just commenting and liking the videos and telling me what you think of it. And if I put polls in, you know, answer those polls so you can sort of let me know. A lot of different video ideas going forward, and I have a lot more build videos coming soon as well. I'm just kind of working on a couple at the moment, so I'm going to take a break from like all the aquascaping videos that I've kind of done for the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to move to just a couple of educational videos and a few other bits and pieces whilst I am sort of working on a few other builds in the background, because obviously funding and everything like that is always still an issue. So I have to wait until my paydays come along so I can afford to add plants to a tank or some new botanicals or whatever I'm doing, or a new light or anything like that. So, but yeah, I've got a few really good ideas, and I think everybody's going to really like the sort of the builds that I've got coming up, and I'm really excited, and I just can't wait to fill up this whole shed with aquariums, and then, you know, just have lots of different types of fish that I can sort of breed and sort of sell on to local hobbyists in the area as well. One of the things that I've always wanted to do is help support my area as well as everybody else, because for me in Norwich it seems like there's not a massive community of fish keepers, or not ones that are make themselves very well known, and I want to sort of you know, start to build that up, and I would love there to be some more fish group around in the area. I don't know if that's not a massive thing in this country. It might be, but I just don't see a lot of it, like these sort of fish community groups like you see in America. A lot of people tend to go to like massive meetups where they can swap fish and have a bit of a talk and all that sort of stuff. It just doesn't seem like that happens in this country. I looked online many a times at like local fish groups, and I know that there was one many years ago around the area, but it died off, and it doesn't seem like there's anything else that's sort of ever been injected here. So it's really interesting to know, you know, how much interest there is for that sort of stuff. So a few other questions then from Instagram again. Shrimp Father, he says, where did the name Mr. Brightfried come from? I wondered when somebody was ever going to ask that question. Essentially, way before I thought about starting a YouTube channel, like most people, I wanted to take photos of my fish tanks and share them with other fish nerds around the world. So I started an Instagram account, and I just posted a couple of pictures on there, but I didn't want my friends or family sort of knowing that I had, you know, this weird fish obsession like most of us have. So I was like, all right, I need to create an account. What do I call it? So I went online and I looked at fish puns, and I found a website which had like 40 or 50 fish puns, and literally on there one of them was Mr. Brian Fried. So I was like, that sounds ridiculously funny. And then I sort of stuck with it. And then as I created my YouTube channel and things started to take off, I kind of went with the name. It's one of those things where, like, you're stuck with it now. So do you commit to changing your name and then having to change everything else? Or do you just sort of stick with it? So I thought, you know what? I'll just stick with it. It's unique and it's different. So, yeah, why not? So a few other questions coming through. Hi to everybody that's joining. I really appreciate it. Thanks for spending your Friday night with me when you could be probably doing something more interesting, but I really appreciate it. Another question that's come through is on Instagram is, would you ever do a large tank, maybe like a large cichlid tank? Yes, I would love to do a cichlid tank. I have been dying to do something like that for a long time. At the moment, it's funding again to afford a massive tank, but I have the space in the shed now to do pretty much whatever I want. And I have a whole wall literally right in front of me that's empty at the moment. So once I get the chance, there will be a big, huge tank in here. And I also want to do a bigger marine tank as well. That's something that I've always wanted to do. I've always known that when I had my marine fish, that I needed to upgrade the setups as I go along. Whilst I got sort of into the hobby, I started small as most people do, and I've sort of tried to sort of upgrade to a bigger tank. But my end game is to go for something like massive, like a good few hundred liters, and have like a really nice proper setup, you know, with all the gear and stuff, just to see how much difference that really does make compared to what I've got. It's again one of those things where I'm sure that there is. But yeah, you know. So I've got another question from someone called Aquazade on Instagram, who says, what do you think about filterless tanks? I think they're a great idea. It's pretty much nature. For me, I feel like you can definitely have a filterless tank. There's not a problem with that, because your aquarium, as it matures, essentially becomes a massive filter. If you've got plants in it, that is what is going to uptake any sort of ammonia and nitrites and nitrates, all that sort of stuff. So that's your natural filter, in my view. Yes, you could have some sort of surface agitation, so you might want to put, say, a air stone in the back of the tank somewhere, just to give that sort of that release of carbon dioxide and everything else that sort of happens there, and sort of interject more oxygen. But I do honestly believe that you don't need to have an actual, like a coarse sponge filter or you know, some sort of plug-in powered filter in your aquarium. I definitely think that there's no reason at all why you can't have just plants and just let it go. For me, I mean, I have sponge filters in my aquariums, but I'll be honest, I really clean the sponge filter. I just use it mostly for the surface agitation, and it's a great place for shrimp and everything else to graze on, but I've not experienced any sort of crashes in cycles or anything like that just because of that. Because I think after a while, like there's all the rocks that you might have that will gain bacteria. The substrate is just a massive powerhouse of bacteria once it gets going as well. So you've got all of that positive, beneficial stuff there to work with. So yeah, that's what my view is. Hi everybody that's joining on Instagram. If you haven't, then head over to YouTube, because I'm actually streaming live on YouTube. So I'd really appreciate it if you headed over there and drop some messages in the chat there if you want to talk to me about anything, then do it on there. And you're very welcome for the answer. My dream fish to keep is... One of my dream fish to keep was, like most people, was some sort of marine fish. And I ended up actually owning that. And at first I was like, oh man, I really want a clownfish, you know, because everybody does, and it's that staple fish in the hobby. But then after a while, I was like, actually, one fish that I really do love is the Bangai Cardinal. And I don't know why I love that fish so much, but since I've owned that, that is hand on heart been my favorite fish that I have ever owned. I don't know why, because they have not massive personalities. They don't fly around the aquarium or anything like that, but I just think that's an absolutely stunning fish, and they're so peaceful and so elegant as they sort of swim and everything else, and I'm so fascinated in that fish, and as much as I've tried now a couple of times to try and breed that fish, it's still a goal of mine to get some sort of breeding of that going, because I've seen videos online and it's absolutely fascinating when you see them sort of, because they're mouth breeders like many cichlids, and it looks absolutely fascinating to see all those tiny little Bangai Cardinal fish in the mother's mouth or the father's mouth, and just sort of seeing how it goes. But yeah, it's something that I've always wanted to see. I think that's one of the fish that I've always wanted to keep. I think for me, I don't really know if there's anything else. I've never been a massive like discus fan or anything like that. They do look really cool, and I've been trying to convince my workplace to get an aquarium, and I keep saying discus would be a good one, just so I could try out it there, and I know how expensive they are as well. But yeah, for the most part, I think all the fish that I've always wanted, I've probably bought now. One of the things that I always wanted right at the very beginning of when I sort of started keeping fish was dwarf puffers or pea puffers, whatever you want to call it, and yeah, I've got them now. I think they're a fascinating fish with just the personality and how they come to greet you every day at the glass of the aquarium, and their little eyes, they're the best things, how they sort of watching you and stuff. So yeah, I really do enjoy that. Shrimp Father says, would you ever consider a high energy tank? Yeah, definitely. I would love to give a go with a proper CO2 system. The furthest I've ever been with a sort of CO2 sub is one of the kind of mix your own sort of formulas, and they're great for very small tanks with a little bit of CO2 injected just to sort of help things along. But I've seen the kind of results that you can get through, you know, injecting a full pressurized CO2 system in your aquarium, and yeah, I'd love to do something like that. It's definitely be on the cards for me. If I was going to do anything, I think that I would do some sort of Dutch style aquarium. I really like the idea of those ones, because like you have a variety of different tanks, and I love just pumping loads of plants in a tank and then just watching it absolutely bloom, especially the reds and things like that. So yes, I would definitely love to do a sort of a high tech or high energy or whatever you want to call it sort of aquarium. Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'm just looking through the live chat here. Yeah, thanks for everyone for joining. I hope everyone's having a good Friday. It's been a bit of a mad one for me. I have been taking a break from my usual job role and helping decorate my workplace. So I've kind of got all paint over me. So yeah, I'm a bit more in my civvies than what I normally would. I would normally have made more of an effort here, but yeah. And I've also got a really bad back at the moment, so yeah. That hasn't helped with my aquarium shenanigans or anything, because I've struggled to lift stuff or move aquariums around with a bad back. But yeah, anyway, thanks for everybody that's joining. I really appreciate it. So just moving on then. I don't know if anybody's got any other sort of topics that they'd like to talk about or anything, but whilst we're sort of talking about that, I might as well tell you about some other things that I've got in the works. So I don't know if people ever enjoyed it, but I have a podcast, and I've kind of taken a step back for the past, what is it, five months now, or 6 months since I wrote the thing, and I've been toying about whether to sort of start again, and I have started writing, which is really cool. I want to do some more sort of stuff with it, but at the moment it's one of those things where, like, I've started writing and I enjoy writing things, but I would like to make it more inclusive. And I have tried in the past, as I think I've mentioned, and it's always sort of been a bit of a disaster. But moving forward, I do intend to do a bit more sort of getting people on the show and stuff like that. And it's the same with my YouTube stuff, like with these live streams and that. You know, one of the things that I would love to do is get some other YouTubers involved and maybe have a conversation. So this is just a trial, really, because this is the first time ever using a different setup for the stream. I've never tried this on YouTube before because I didn't have the sort of facilities to do so really well before I hit the 1K mark. But now I can, and there's some really cool features that you can use now, and I'm really excited to do that. So I'm definitely planning on sort of getting a couple of YouTubers or maybe one or two or just one, whatever, and doing a chill out, sit down chat and just talk, you know, talk fish, man, you know, and just sort of see how it goes, really. So yeah, and if you guys would like something like that, definitely let me know who you'd like to see as well. I'm quite friendly with some really good YouTubers, so I reckon there wouldn't be a problem getting some of them onto my live stream to have a chat, and maybe we can return the favor on there. So if you're interested, any YouTubers watching, let me know. So another question come through from Aquaman Aquatics. Any turtle biotopes coming? I want to really bad. Like, I have been saying about it for probably over a year that I want to get a turtle aquarium, and that is definitely one thing that's still on the cards for me. And I'd love to do so. So yes, it is. And I noticed the other day when I went into my local fish shop that they've got some little musk turtles swimming around. And yeah, I did stop for quite a while and had a look at them, and I was like pondering a few really cool ideas. But yeah, I'd love to do something really cool with them. And yeah, I think they're absolutely fascinating creatures and full of personality, and it's just one of those things that's on the bucket list, and hopefully I will get round to doing. I've got the space for it now. It's just getting, probably, well, as I said before, it's getting the money first of all. I need to make sure that I'm in a position where I can afford to keep these animals. I don't want to sort of run before I can walk. I want to make sure that I have everything set up, everything ready, everything planned, all the research done that I need to, and then I can make that decision to move forward. But yeah, we're getting there. I know it's some really cool stuff, you know, sort of planned and sort of going forward. Going back to what I was talking about with YouTube and stuff, there's some really cool features, and I don't know if anybody's sort of seen recently, but I've sort of been doing some members only videos. YouTube has a feature where you can sort of subscribe to the channel and stuff, and I know it's not for everybody, and it's kind of like Patreon, but for YouTube. And essentially what that then does is just, yeah, you can sort of subscribe to the channel and then get access to sort of extra content, if you will. And a lot of the videos I've been doing are kind of just vlog type videos in the shed here and talking about things that I'm getting up to, sort of sneak peeks about aquariums that I've been working on, other videos that I've been working on. And my plan going forward is to, again, get some guests on and stuff like that, maybe do some member only sort of talks and get some sort of educational videos going as well, which I think would be massive for people. And you know, if you want to join, then you're more than welcome to. I've already got, you know, some people signed up already, and I can't thank you enough for that. I really appreciate it. I appreciate everybody that's sort of taken the time to subscribe or even watch my videos. As I said before, you know, many people sit here and watch the live stream, whether it's on Instagram or YouTube here, and yeah, it's just great fun. Another question coming in, does the wife prefer the tanks in the shed? Yes, I can't tell you how much she prefers it. She's got a kitchen back now. The kids can actually eat in the kitchen as opposed to in our conservatory, which is one of those things where it's either like absolutely scorching in the summer or freezing cold in the winter. And it's been a nightmare trying to balance that out since I had, at the time it was like seven or eight aquariums in my kitchen. And it's a little less awkward now when people come round, because when people turn up and they just walk into your kitchen, like, I thought this is a place where you're supposed to be cooking, not meat, like not breeding fish and having hundreds of fish tanks in there. And I won't lie, a racking system that you normally have, like a metal racking system, is not the most visually pleasing thing that you can have in your kitchen. So yeah, I think it's benefited us greatly to have our kitchen back. And this is brilliant for me. You know, there was always the, would I spend too much time out in the sheds every night or not miss out on family time and stuff? But no, it turns out that I've sort of found a really nice balance. You know, I can come in here, do a bit of pottering, feed my fish, do some YouTube videos, shut the door, and then I can go back and enjoy family life without having both of them mixed. And it's really nice for me because I get to sit in here and it's dead quiet. I've got a radio in here if I want to watch. If I want to listen to any music, or I can put my phone on and play some music. Yeah, and just sort of, without sounding too corny, you know, you can bond with your fish and your aquariums and sort of watch things mature and grow as it goes. So yeah, it's yeah, she's definitely pleased with that. So yeah, I wonder what my neighbours think I'm doing, seeing me in and out of the garage every day. I, hand on heart, think that my neighbours think that I'm up to something no good in my shed. Like, I swear to God, every time I go out there, I'm just sitting in the back garden having like a bonfire, or they've got one of those incinerator things, and you know, they're having a couple of drinks, and I can sometimes hear them talking, and I always find it really awkward when I walk into here, especially if I'm like doing YouTube videos, because they must find it absolutely weird as anything that there's somebody sitting in his shed right now, especially right now doing this live stream, talking. And they're probably thinking, like, who's he talking to? Like, is he just mad and talking to himself right now? But yeah, I do. And the funniest thing is, like, obviously when you go out to your shed, like I do, sometimes I'm like, I'm boiling botanicals, or a lot of my frozen foods for my fish are still in the freezer in the house. So I'm coming outside with like little shot glasses full of frozen food, and I've got like maybe a cup of tea on the go. I'm sort of like wandering into the house, or into the shed here, sorry, with all these like random bits and pieces, or like a jug full of fish, or if I'm selling them, sometimes like I'll bag them up, and if that person's coming, I'll quickly bag them up and then bring them in. So I'm sometimes walking around with like bags of fish and water and stuff. So yeah. That's right, and obviously there's a lot of lights in here and stuff, so yeah, it does get a bit shady, especially like mine, because as you can see above my head here, I've got this reflective foil, and yeah, that gives a bit of an interesting perception when somebody sort of when that door opens and somebody looks around. I think, yeah, they must think I'm up to no good in here. God forbid the day that the police come knocking on the door here and say what you're up to, and then you just open it and find actually, yeah, it's just a guy full of fish tanks in a shed. Oh. So yeah, I think that I'm sort of getting there, and there's quite a lot in the works, sort of, from the channel and like I said, from memberships and bits and pieces like that. For me, as I keep saying in, I think, a lot of my videos, the most important thing that I want from people watching my content is feedback. I love to know. I'm not afraid to take criticism or sort of constructive feedback or anything like that. I get a lot of stick from people anyway about sometimes my views on things, so I'm not accustomed to receiving some comments, but I do really like feedback. It helps me move my channel in the direction that people want to see it. And I constantly sort of view my sort of my stats and bits and pieces like that through YouTube as to what's working, what my kind of engagement is like, and bits and pieces. You'll probably notice when you watch my videos, especially some of the more recent ones, is that I'm now trying to adjust the way that I do things. So you'll probably notice some changes coming up in a couple of videos, the way I'm filming things. I'm trying to make it a bit more engaging and exciting and more interesting than sort of being stable and steady and stuff like that. And I think that the thing that's a lot of people don't realize is not only is there a massive learning curve to this whole, you know, being on YouTube, it's just everything that goes with it. It's the time and how long it takes to film something. And then once you've filmed it, you've got to edit it, and editing takes a long time. But then if you don't know how to use certain editing software, then you've got to learn the software. You've got to learn how to present yourself on camera. You've got to learn how to speak properly. One thing that I notice a hell of a lot in a lot of my videos, and I really try hard with this, is using words like or you know, or something like that, or things like that. I know that I do it, but it's really hard to get out of that practice in your head to say, stop doing that. This is the way that you need to sort of compose yourself and speak on camera. So you have to learn how to talk to a screen, because effectively right now you're listening to me, but I'm just sitting here talking to myself with a camera recording me. So yeah, there's that learning curve. There's also the sort of the analytics and making sure that, you know, that your thumbnails are correct and the titles are of your videos are engaging enough and relevant to what you're actually watching as well, so you're not misleading people. There's just so much to it, it's ridiculous. And to try and get all of that right on top of learning what people want is just insane. So that's why it's massive and very helpful if you get feedback from people and that you guys are the best people to tell me how I'm getting on with my videos, if they're really good, if they're a bit sort of droning or gone on for too long, or they're not long enough, or they're too short, you know, them sort of things. So definitely let us know. Thanks for everybody that's joining on Instagram. I noticed some people randomly appearing and then disappearing, so they were obviously clicked on the story. Again, if you are watching on Instagram, thank you very much. Head over to my YouTube channel, because I'm also streaming live on there, and I'm hoping that with your help that I will be able to do this more on YouTube as opposed to Instagram. But yes, I hope everybody's having a really good Friday as well. I think that I don't really have too much more to talk about, really. I think I had a little a few bits and pieces with notes on it to talk about, but yeah, I'm sort of coming to the end of it, really. I think that, again, as I said before, you know, it's just really appreciate everybody sort of taking the time to watch the videos and stuff. If you've got any other questions that you want to ask, then yes, please do so. There's a few more coming through on Instagram. Somebody was just STE Windle 1 said, editing is hard work. You have no idea if you've never done it. Luckily for me, one of my other hobbies besides keeping fish is motion graphics, video, like motion graphics, visual effects, graphic design, web design, sort of things like that. And I've been doing that for years, like it must be coming up for about 12 years now, possibly longer, to be honest. So I'm not accustomed to using editing software. I use predominantly the Adobe suite, so that is a massive help. So I'm very good at that sort of the side of stuff. The thing that's always been the problem for me, like I said before, is knowing how to create things that people are going to watch, or how to present myself on camera. And it's funny looking back at my old videos, because I remember just how stale and stiff I was, and I'd be sitting there going, hi everybody, this is thanks for you know, and now I feel I'm a bit more relaxed. I still find it nerve-wracking sometimes being on video, and especially live ones as well, because you can't edit it, can you? You know, anything you say or do is there right in front of people, and people are watching it and sort of judging you straight away. So yeah, it's quite an interesting differ besides doing you know, anything else. So yes, I'm getting some comments coming through from YouTube as well, saying that the video is lagging. I do apologize if it is. I have a funny feeling that it is my internet in the area. The stream that's coming through on Instagram is coming through on just my 4G, so it's not on my Wi-Fi, and I think the Wi-Fi here is a little bit shoddy, to be honest, so I need to work on that. I had a funny feeling it might have been a bit laggy, so I'm hoping it's not too bad. I'm hoping the audio is good, because if that is, then that's probably the most important thing. Again, thanks for everybody that's joining. A couple of people here, Grand Reefer, Christelle Mori, Pico Tank. Oh, hi guys, hope you're all okay. Once again, if anybody doesn't know, Pico Tank are a sort of a DIY, sort of a aquarium build kit, and the guys were kind enough to send me one of their kits, and I had a play around with it, and I made a couple of videos on my YouTube channel. So if you haven't checked them out, definitely go check them out as well. It's a really good watch there. We were getting close to nearly the hour mark, and I tend to not like to go any further than an hour, because I'm just waffling and eating up your time, really. So I'll hold on, unless anybody's got a couple more questions or anything like that. If you have, then please let me know in the comments. Yes, so I'll just have a look through. There's a couple more things sort of coming through. Hi, Chandelier Rocks, who's just joined the chat on Instagram. STE Window 1 says, what would you put in a 30 litre nano aquarium? Guppies. Like that cubed aquarium behind me there is one I just posted a couple of, I think it was Monday. Yeah, it was Monday. Yeah, I'll put guppies in that 30 litre there. Whether there's too many, you be the judge. For me, it seems to be working fine. It's a really hard one to sort of make the point, because I have very different opinions sometimes on what can and can't be done, and I think that there is a sort of a moral welfare thing, that you don't go too extreme on the size of the fish that you put in the aquarium. But I think that you can get away with trying some things out, and it's all trial and error, and as long as you're sort of mindful about what you're doing and not being crazy about it, and your filtration's there enough to sort of handle stuff. Again, you've got to be careful with that, because you could argue that you could stick a goldfish in a 30 litre aquarium, and everybody, you know, that thing could be absolutely causing like disastrous effects on it. Yes, you could do it, but should you do it? Questionable. Probably not. So yeah. Glad the audio is coming through fine on YouTube. That's great to hear. I've got a few options on YouTube, but this is the first time I've been playing around with it. But I've seen I have features called Super Chats and I think a few other bits and pieces. Again, one thing that one thing that's really cool with YouTube as well is like there's a members, as I was saying, the members thing. You get like a little emojis next to your name, which is really cool, and you get like free super chat, I think it is, or something, where you're in the live feed, your question will come up at the very top of the chat. So once things start to get the sort of the ball rolling better, then hopefully people can then sort of be posting on it and stuff like that. Like I said, my aim is to have like a conversation going and a good chat with other fish nerds, and yeah, just talk about stuff and what you've been up to, you know, what's everybody been up to in the hobby at the moment. What's new? What you're up to? Thanks for everybody that's joining on Instagram as well. Again, head over to YouTube.